Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to a Do Not Wash That Jersey episode of a Colts podcast presented by Sports Illustrated and Horseshoe Huddle. My name's Brandon. I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. My Quentin Nelson jersey is undefeated, my friend. How are you doing? How was the game? You weren't there, but you got to watch it from the comfort of your home. What's up?
Doing pretty well, man. Before the Buccaneers game, the jerseys were getting a little musty going on that little three-game winning streak. But, hey, starting off a new winning streak this week against the Houston Texans. Absolutely dominating performance by the Indianapolis Colts. A game that they absolutely should have dominated because the Texans are hot garbage. I really don't know how they beat a Tennessee squad a week ago. But, hey, this is the NFL. Any team can win on any given Sunday.
Yeah,
but
no
the Colts,
shit.
Colts completely dismantled the Houston Texans on Sunday, and it was a good win right before the bye. Now the Colts, after 13 straight weeks, can relax. They're already pretty healthy, but kind of get a little bit more healthy, especially for Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
And then it's on to the Patriots, but a very good win for the Colts on Sunday. How'd you enjoy the win, brother?
Well, I was also celebrating my wonderful fiance's birthday. So I was watching at a bar, not my typical, you know, sit and listen to every word kind of situation. But I got the gist of it. I mean, from play, like Matt just said, from play one, from the get-go, it was just a classic ass-whooping, and I enjoyed it a lot. Colts win, 31-0. Colts smack the Texans. Real quick before we get started, though, just again, as usual, please go follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, all the things, at a Colts podcast. Also, this week for Wednesday's show, because we do not have a game, we will be doing listener questions. So send in questions about the show, send in questions about us, send in questions about the Colts. What we think going into the game against the Patriots a little ahead of time, whatever you want. We're going to do a little mailbag episode, our first one ever. But if we don't get any questions, hard to do that. So please send questions to our DMs, to our Facebook, however you want to do it. Tweet at us, whatever. We'll answer those questions for you. But, yeah, Colts win 31-0. Get that shutout this time around. Wasn't it the Texans that we were, like, real close to shutting out? And they got a late, you know, garbage time score? Or was that Miami? It was the Texans.
It was Houston. The Colts beat them 31-3 last time in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
that's
right. So. Yeah, sounds about right. I'll start with the defense. Dominant performance. It might have been after halftime. It was definitely close to halftime. I think they put up a stat on the TV that the Colts had run 21 plays in Texans territory, and the Texans had run zero plays in Colts territory. They only allowed 141 yards, 57 passing yards allowed. Al-Qadim Muhammad, Kamoko Ture, two sacks each. And now we're up to 29 turnovers forced on the year.
Pretty remarkable performance, and Matt's right. From play one, when Kenny Moore intercepted the ball of Tyrod Taylor, it was just an onslaught from there. You love to see what this Colts defense did, because they very easily could have gone in there and just said, okay, this is the Texans. We don't really have anything to worry
about.
I'm thinking about the bye week. They absolutely did not do that. They go in there. They really take it to the Texans. They put up a statement, and now they get to enjoy their bye week, because the next three games for Indianapolis after the bye, it's a gauntlet. It really is. And it's going to determine the season. It's going to determine whether they're on the couch in January or whether they're playing for a chance to play in a Super Bowl. Pretty incredible performance by the defense. I mean, yes, you could say Tyrod Taylor was bad. Davis Mills was bad. It's still hard to shut people out in the NFL. The Colts, this is their first time they've shut out a team since 2018, when they shut out the Cowboys at home, and their first road shutout since 1992, when they shut out New England.
Before they were the Patriots.
Before they were the Patriots. So it was a great performance. You saw guys flying to the ball. It seemed like everybody was making plays. DeForest Buckner was getting pressure up the middle. You just talked about Al-Qadim Muhammad and Kamoko Ture. Kamoko Ture looked really good. That's the first time we've really seen him flash in quite some time. So I was excited to see that. But they couldn't get the running game going. Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor couldn't get anything going offensively. I think it took till the fourth quarter, the very end of the fourth quarter, before a Texans wide receiver even recorded a catch all game. So very good defensive performance. Again, it is the Texans, but it's still an NFL team, and it's hard to shut out anybody in the NFL, especially with how the rules are favored to the offense. So very good performance by this Colts defense, and they can use this as momentum to move forward because they've got some very good offenses that they're going to be facing to end the year.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I was worried about Tyrod Taylor's legs. And right off the bat, I'm like, there he goes, out of the pocket, here we go. Interception. Mm-hmm. Kenny Moore had no business making that interception, by the way. The fact that we had to challenge that, too, really bugged me. Usually the refs in those situations call the turnover, call the score, call whatever initiates a replay so they don't have to look like the bad guys. But, yeah, I mean, just it's almost appalling how bad that offense was against our defense. Well, I mean, 84 rushing yards to 94 and 94 passing yards. That's bad.
It was cool to see how Kenny Moore, or I guess cool to hear how Kenny Moore described that first interception, though. He said it was something that he saw on film, that the Texans really like to get outside the pocket and run those quick hitch out routes. And when Kenny, as soon as he saw Tyrod go in there,
wow,
it was a quick action. So it's something that they knew was going to happen. So I'm excited to see this week on Hard Knocks how they talk about that and if that gets brought up in the film study to see how exactly that came about. But it's hard, like 140 yards total. And if you count the sack yardage, that's where the 57 comes in. But I think Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills each only had about 40 yards each, if you don't include 47, 45, somewhere around there, if you don't include the sack yardage. That's hard to do. And the Colts were getting constant pressure. You saw Quiddy Pay, while he didn't record a sack, he was getting back there. Grover Stewart making some good plays. And it was great to see Kari Willis back out there. You know who's got a guy that we didn't really even hear his name called yesterday was Rocky Sin. And it's because the Texans didn't even throw at him. Can you remember a single play where the Texans threw at Rocky Sin? No. It's hard to do. They tested Kenny more than they did Rocky Sin. And obviously we saw how that turned out.
Not well.
So not well at all. Great performance by the defense. And like I said, yes, it is the Texans. So you don't want to say, I mean, this is the 85 Bears or anything.
Hey, but right here, Stats Matt. Matt, your name still hasn't changed to Stats Matt on YouTube. Houston put up 300 yards on the Rams and 360 on the Pats this season. Those are two other good defenses. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we held them to what we did in Houston. So, I mean, no excuses. And then this comment from Matt. Thanks, Matt. David Culley is rivaling Pete Carroll for most violent chewer. He was on the Pat McAfee show today. Hey, the fact that he was already planning on going on Pat McAfee show on Monday shows he's not a winning football coach.
Danny saw him chewing, and she just didn't even know who he was because, man, that's disgusting. That man had a wad in there. Just chawing the hell out of it. But back to the defense. It was Kenny Moore that was on the Pat McAfee show, not David Culley.
Okay, that makes sense.
But
now I gotta listen to it.
But hey, that's a perfect segue of going into Kenny Moore. Kenny Moore, elite. Simple as that. Kenny Moore is the best slot corner in the NFL. It's hard to find somebody that does as much as he does for his team in the slot and does it at such a high level. I mean, Kenny Moore now has 5 turnovers forced of the 29 turnovers the Colts have forced this year.
So probably only probably only Darius Leonard ahead of him, right?
Darius is up there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that has many.
Maybe one of the defensive linemen for strip sacks. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I know Darius has 10, or he's been involved in 10 of the 29. Ridiculous. So you put Darius Leonard and Kenny Moore, that's 16 of the 29 right there. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Moore, 4 tackles, 2 passes deflected, an interception, and a forced fumble.
just absurd.
Yeah.
He was all over the place. And that forced fumble, I thought on the replay, or I thought live, I thought, oh, wow, that's a great play by Grover Stewart, because I thought Grover Stewart had knocked it out. And then on the replay, you see Kenny Moore just come in behind and poke it out there. I found myself at one point during the game just wondering how Kenny Moore is still such a well-kept secret in the NFL. Because
he plays for Indianapolis.
He plays for Indianapolis, but, I mean, there's other guys that get the accolades and the recognition, like a Darius Leonard or DeForest Buckner. Kenny Moore is kind of that third guy that's just forgotten about.
It's because he put the word slot in front of his title.
I mean, even when he plays outside, Kenny Moore does incredible things. So yep. This man needs to have some respect on his name. Darius Leonard and Frank Reich both said he's a Pro Bowler, and I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I'm not saying that. I know just putting out what, like, oh, that slot corner. I mean, if you're not a Colts fan and you're not a hardcore NFL fan, I mean, you probably, if you were looking at slot corner, he's not really, you know what I mean? You wouldn't. You dig into his numbers and you really pay attention, he's taking more snaps. He's, you know, playing on the outside a lot too. It just so happens we're in, you know, a formation where he's in the slot a lot. So it's just on paper, you don't see him as a true corner. Nobody views him as a true corner. He's a true corner.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the thing is about Kenny Moore, too, is he doesn't just do one thing well. He does so many things well. I mean, he's great in run support. Earlier in the year, we were kind of getting on him for his missed tackles. But that's because we expect so much out of Kenny Moore.
Yeah.
He's really
stepped up. He had a slow start to the season for sure.
Yeah, he did. And he's really stepped that part of his game. He's gotten it back up to the Kenny Moore level that we expect. He can guard quick, shifty guys in the slot. I mean, the interception was on Davion Davis, who's a pretty quick guy. We saw him going toe-to-toe with Brandon Cooks. He can also guard guys that are twice his size. I mean, his one-handed interception last year was when he was guarding Darren Waller. So he can guard guys that are big guys that are small, shifty guys. And you just trust that when he's out there, he's going to make that play. And that's why he is in that position on this Colts defense, because the slot corner in this cover two zone scheme that the Colts love to run is more important than any other cornerback position out there, because the way the defense is, a lot of things are funneled to the middle of the field, to DeForest Buckner, to the Will linebacker and Darius Leonard. And then when things do kind of get outside, it's all funneled towards that slot where Kenny Moore is. So you have to have a special talent there. And I mean, credit to the, and it really wasn't even Chris Ballard that found him, because Chris Ballard has a certain criteria for his cornerbacks that they have to be 6 foot. They have to have certain long arms. And while Kenny Moore didn't fit that 6 foot, criteria, because he's only 5'9", he's got those very long arms. And it was the Colts scouting staff that really, I wish I knew which scout it was to give him a shout out, but it was that scouting department that really pushed Ballard hard to get this guy after he was released by the Patriots in 2017. And the rest is history. He's turned into the best slot corner in the game.
Yeah, he's incredible. While we're still on the defense, before we move forward to the offense here, Andrew, real quick, how big of a difference did having Corey Willis out there yesterday make?
I mean, I thought it had a pretty big difference. I mean, he was out there. I even saw him have a pass breakup. He was in on multiple tackles. Really wish he would have been in for Anderson Dejo instead of George Odom coming out. But
yeah. Is that what they ended up? I forgot to look at that to see who he ended up playing for.
As I said last week, that was probably going to happen. Yeah, Anderson Dejo did keep his starting spot. But, yeah, I mean, you just noticed that the Texans really didn't try to press the Colts deep, and it was because Kari Willis was back there. And then when they did try to go up against Kari Willis, he had a couple really good tackles, didn't have any missed tackles like we see Anderson Dejo have all the time.
Is that something we could see happen maybe after a bye week with George Odom having a little, you know, more practice snaps at that other safety position? Because I imagine it's similar, not the same, but I'm sure it's similar to going from like left tackle to right tackle. Things feel kind of backwards. Maybe you blow coverage because you're not, you know, you mix up coverages, something like that.
I don't think so, because the Colts do change their safety so much. They don't keep Kari Willis on one side of the field and Julian Blackman on the other.
So they switch it up enough that they should be used to it.
Correct. And the thing is, George Odom has been here for 3 years now. True. Anderson Dejo was signed in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
So I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just think that for whatever reason, the Colts would rather have Anderson Dejo out there and keep George Odom as a special teams, as primarily special teams, unless they're in a dire pinch like they have been with Kari Willis out and Blackman already out for the year with a torn Achilles.
Well, it's very cool to have a white safety.
I guess if you really want that, sure. We'll go with that.
That's the answer. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's got to be the coolest dude in the league, right?
The coolest dude that never plays.
Toby Gerhart.
Toby Gerhart was a monster.
Yeah.
Or Mike Allstar. Peyton Hillis. You remember Peyton Hillis?
From the Browns? Yes. Oh my God. Randomly on that Madden trailer this past year. Hilarious. Yeah. I know we talked about that already, but that is hilarious. That dude on the farm for that Madden trailer. All right. Offense not explosive, but you put methodical, I think efficient enough. I was a little worried in this. I was at a bar. I was celebrating my fiance's birthday, you know, so I was paying attention, but not the usual locked in attention I normally have. But I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, we are in the second quarter, and it felt like we were going to, which we did, it felt like we were going to have a blowout. But in the second quarter, all of a sudden, I'm not feeling that way 100%. Going, why are we not scoring some points? Finally, we kind of kicked it into gear. Offense, only 389 total yards, 238 rushing yards, 151 passing yards. Wentz was 16 for 22 with a touchdown. And, I mean, people just say now Jonathan Taylor is going to get his, like they say about Derrick Henry. I'm really excited to talk about this next week for the Patriots preview because of Bill Elliott's skill, but we're not getting into it right now.
you said Bill Elliott.
Bill Belichick.
you're talking about a 19
Bill Belichick
1980s NASCAR
Bill
driver.
Belichick. You know what I'm saying? Because of Bill Belichick's skill, but again, offense didn't blow the roof off. Carson Wentz didn't blow the roof off. I just need 210 damn yards out of the guy, but enough to get the job done.
Well, that's what you get for betting on the Colts.
Shut up. I didn't bet on the Colts. I bet on Colts players. There's a difference.
Well, same thing.
I bet on Jonathan Taylor scored a touchdown almost every week. I forgot to do it before the game this week, and I was trying to find like an option for him to get another one, and I just could not find it.
Colts did what they needed to do to win on Sunday. It wasn't particularly pretty. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, you kind of hit this right on the money. You expected a Buffalo Bills workload, and that's what happened. He got the 32 carries, and while it was only for 143 yards, he still got the two touchdowns. And I kind of liked how Frank Wright came out of the game right away after the Kenny Moore interception, ran six straight runs.
It was hilarious. Kind of like what little, did I tell you? He might give a little middle finger, a little, hey, fans, how's this for you? And he did.
But the Colts took care of the ball. And I was really, I mean, Carson Wentz's numbers weren't spectacular by any means, only 158 yards and a touchdown. But I can't remember a single time Carson Wentz ever put the ball in harm's way. Nope. He didn't need to press yesterday. Jonathan nope. Taylor was, I mean, there were plenty of times where the Colts were kind of stagnant on offense. And some of it was, a lot of it was kind of up to the offensive line, which we'll talk about here in a bit. But Carson Wentz was able to get it to his wide receivers, and he seemed very accurate yesterday. There were a couple throws where I don't think he could have made a better throw. The throws out to the sideline, there were some to Michael Pittman. There was a throw to T.Y. Hilton that I really loved. There were plenty of throws and plenty of decisions that Carson Wentz made. There was, and I can't wait to watch the film tomorrow to kind of show those checks that he made at the line of scrimmage to either get out of a pass play and into a run or vice versa. He was very on top of things yesterday. And that's what Carson Wentz needed to be. He yep. didn't need to be hero ball Carson Wentz. He just needed to take care of the ball. When you have a superstar running back like Jonathan Taylor back there, you give him the ball, you let him go to work, and it ends in a 31-0 Colts victory. So I really was impressed with how Carson Wentz is. I think we've said all that can be said about Jonathan Taylor at this point. I think he's pretty much a lock for offensive player of the year. And I think he still is in that MVP conversation. But while the offense wasn't anything spectacular, still another 30-point game by this Colts offense. And this Colts offense, I think, is still top five in the league in scoring. They were four before the game, and I'm sure they didn't go down any after. So I'd have to look that up to see exactly where they are. But a solid performance overall by the Colts offense.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, 32 carries, 143 yards, and two touchdowns. How's Colts Twitter right now? Because I'm actually looking at those numbers now. I'm like, oh, my God, they're all going to think they were right. 31-0, you see what happens? I mean, they're all going to think they're right. Whether they are or not, they're going to think it. Pittman, six catches, 77 yards, two carries for 33 yards. He had a great game. That's over 100 yards for him. What is it? T.Y. did have a hell of a toe drag. He's the king.
T.Y. Hilton definitely didn't have the Texans performance that I was expecting. But then again, I mean, it really wasn't needed. It seems like this is the T.Y. Hilton that we're seeing for this Colts offense now. He's playing second or third fiddle, and that's just how it's probably going to be the rest of the year, yeah, unless it's called upon him to really have a big performance.
And isn't that only Ashton Doolin's second touchdown too?
Ashton Doolin, his second touchdown in 2 weeks. He was really showing out, made a couple plays on special teams. I mean, Ashton Doolin has a very good chance to be a Pro Bowler as a special teams player, even. Because I think he's leading the league in special teams tackles, I think, still.
Probably.
But yeah, I would have loved to see T.Y. get more involved just because
that's his
we
place.
Already talked about it. That's his second home. I think this
third receiving in that stadium ever, probably.
I think that was his final game in Energy Stadium, because I have a feeling that T.Y. is going to retire after this year. So you'd like to see him dominate one more time. But hey, it seems like T.Y. Hilton's role this year is to just be that leader, that glue that keeps the team together. And Frank Reich mentioned it again, that T.Y. Hilton had a really emotional speech on Saturday to the guys. And I have a feeling it was say to this team, to the team, like, hey, we can't take this team lightly. Yeah, they're the Texans, but at the same time, we need to go out there and make a statement, and we need to dominate as we get ready to head into this bye and head into this tough stretch. And that's exactly what the Colts did. And I think T.Y. Hilton, while his performance on the field hasn't been exactly what we had hoped it would be this year, his performance and his leadership off the field, I think, is exactly what
the Colts need. He's not been a liability.
No, absolutely not.
Real quick, one more thing here before we go on to the offensive line. The Patriots apparently are ranked 20th for rushing defense. I do not care. It's Bill Belichick. He finds a way to take away your number one weapon. And honestly, I don't know who they've played, and I'm sure Stats Matt here is just going to throw some stuff out, but I'm sure they were okay giving up the rushing yards as opposed to the passing yards against certain teams they were playing as well. I'm interested. I'm ready to see Frank Reich versus Bill Belichick, just in regards to how Jonathan Taylor does. Any comment on that? Do not get into it too deep, sir. We've got a game to talk about next week.
I think the Colts organization and Frank Reich included, they've only played the Patriots, I think, once since Frank Reich's been there. But they know how important this game is to the franchise. All the history, all the hate between these two franchises. So Bill Belichick does a great job of taking away your best player. So I certainly think he'll have some things up his sleeve to try to take JT out of the game. But we'll see what happens, whether it's a Pittman game, whether it's a T.Y. Hilton game, whether it's a Carson Wentz that puts the team on the back, or even if Jonathan Taylor just says, I don't really care what you're doing, Belichick, I'm going to do it. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, you can't stop him. I mean, when your offensive line and Jonathan Taylor are pushing a pile 5 yards, it's just a match of will and strength. And apparently we have more will and strength than most defensive lines and linebackers. Offensive line, not great in pass protection. I mean, at the end of the day, didn't make a huge difference. I'm sure, you know, was Kelly out the whole game? Was he on?
Kelly's out the whole game because of COVID.
Yeah, I did not know that until partway through the game. I'm like, where is Ryan Kelly? again, no audio at the bar. I'm sure that didn't help. What do you think about the way they performed in pass protection?
I wasn't impressed, and certainly wasn't impressed with Eric Fisher. It seemed like Eric Fisher had one of his worst games of the year, just constantly getting blown up by a Texans defensive line that really doesn't have too many standout guys. I mean, they have some guys that can make moves. Certainly Jacob Martin is a guy that has some promise. He's a young developing pass rusher, but it seemed like on every other throw, every other play that the Colts decided to try to go down the field, Eric Fisher was just getting blown up in pass protection. And that's not something you want to see, especially right now as the Colts are going up against with the Patriots. They'll be going up against Matt Judon, who's one of the league leaders in sacks. The week after that's the Arizona Cardinals, where you have Chandler Jones, who can take over a game at any time. The game after that is against the Raiders. Yannick Ngakoue can certainly make a left tackle's life a living hell. Yeah. And then Josh Allen of the Jaguars. We already saw Eric Fisher really struggle against Josh Allen earlier in the year. So you're going to have at least four guys that can certainly give Eric Fisher plenty of trouble. And that's not something you want to see for a Colts team that really needs to be playing at their best right now. And still, they won, but there's still no margin for error. They're still, I think, ninth in the AFC, and they're still going to need some help and to probably go 3-1 in their final four games to sneak into the playoffs. So that's something that is a legitimate concern for me moving forward, is how Eric Fisher is going to perform against these tough pass rushers that the Colts are getting ready to see here in these next four games.
Probably not well. So I view that as an opportunity for Frank Reich.
Yeah, certainly. Frank Reich can certainly do things to alleviate the pressure from Eric Fisher.
Had to do it last year with a guy with no legs. I mean, no legs at all. So I would hope that we can figure it out with Carson Wentz. But
the Colts, I mean, the Colts, as the year has even gone along, I think Colts fans, I'm not us because we've always loved Anthony Costanzo, but I think more Colts fans realize how good Anthony Costanzo was and how much he was taken for granted in the time that he was here. And certainly now when you have Eric Fisher, I knew we all hoped that he would be back to playing at a near Pro Bowl level. At this point, I don't think it is coming back. And I don't think that the Colts will re-sign him next year either. I think the Colts at this point would either go Matt Pryor, try to see if he can play at left tackle because maybe he had success at right. Again, that is a hard transition. You can't just plug and play a guy. I mean, there's always the thought of Quentin Nelson going in there at left tackle. And then we'll just have to see who hits the free agency market and who hits the second round when the Colts are up picking. That's still a ways away. But I don't think Eric Fisher will be back with this team next year.
Yeah. is there a way to help Fisher chip or what? I mean, Doyle is a good blocker. Yeah. But I personally, I don't know about you, Andrew. I'm not a big fan of having to help him a bunch because the tight ends have been playing well lately. I mean, look at what the game Jack Doyle had last week. If we're worried about him having to do extra, I'm not saying he can't block, but doing extra blocking when we could have an extra guy going out in the field to try to catch a football, I'm not a huge fan of that idea. But, yeah, chipping, you know, maybe just getting hands on a guy to help and then opening for a route maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
I think instead of maybe having a tight end chip, I think you can do more RPOs action that the Colts really didn't use. And again, I'll have to look at the film just to confirm this, but it didn't seem to me the Colts used as many RPOs.
Well, that's because the fans hate them and Frank knew.
And I love RPOs, man. They're so they're this offense with RPOs. I hope as long as Carson Wentz is the quarterback, this offense
and his legs continues
to work. Continues to dominate with RPOs because, man, they've been killing it this year on them. But RPOs, those quick passes out to Kylan Granson and Jack Doyle, the tight ends, or quick slants to guys like, well, like Michael Pittman Jr. Those have worked this year. RPOs can definitely slow down the rush. Obviously, you want to get the running game going with Jonathan Taylor. That can slow down the rush. And then not just RPOs, but straight up play action calls. I mean, if Jonathan Taylor starts to get going, like it seems like he does every single game, the play action will definitely slow that down, because not only does it make the pass rushers kind of second guess things a little bit, brings right. those linebackers down, then they're in pursuit. Carson Wentz can get rid of the ball a little bit quicker, or even take the deep shot. So there are things that Frank Reich can do play calling wise, but at the end of the day, it's still going to be on Eric Fisher to play better. And while they can help with some tight ends, I think you'll see more running back chips than anything,
yeah.
especially with Nyheim Hines, because on those pass plays, it seems like Nyheim Hines is in there more often. Nyheim will go over there and get a nice chip on a pass rusher. But it's still going to be up to Eric Fisher to really step his game up. I'm glad that they have this week off, so maybe if he's dealing with a little something, can get healthier and be fresh for these last four games before the Colts try to head into the playoffs.
The bye week is here.
Thank God.
We need it. It was time. We've been dying for it, I feel like. And like you said, it seems like that the injury list has shrunk and shrunk and shrunk as the year's gone on, but it's the people like Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard who have been fighting through nagging injuries that this extra week is really going to help push them through, especially Darius, who has seemed to be coming back on athletically. You know, not just using his, not having to rely on just his brain to make good plays and his physicality, mm-hmm. but he's been able to rely on his athleticism a little bit more. And just poor Big Q, that ankle. He's a robot down there, freaking cyborg. Looking forward to them feeling a little bit better.
I'm glad to see Quentin Nelson just make it through the game and not get rolled up on it and have to come out of the
sprinting
game with that
down
ankle.
The field, murdering people.
I mean, he was flying about as fast as Michael Pittman Jr. was on that play. It was pretty incredible to see. But yes, you're absolutely right. Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson, especially, get those ankles healed up, because they're going to be needed at full strength. And we've seen Darius Leonard really start to come on, and you see his ankle slowly getting better. But here's the thing. He is doing round-the-clock treatment, so he can play on Sundays. And then it finally starts to feel pretty good on Saturday. And then after the rigors of a tough game, then he kind of has to start all over again.
Three days of pure trying to feel better so you can practice some, and then boom, game.
Right, absolutely. Here's a week where the Colts, they had their film study today, but the Colts will have the rest of the week off. They won't be back in the building until Monday of next week, so no practice. I mean, guys will still come in for rehab, obviously, and to get treatment like Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson probably will be all week. But it's perfect timing, because not only is it guys like Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson, DeForest Buckner even dealing with nagging injuries, it's good to have Jonathan Taylor get a week off too. I mean, all of the beatings that he has taken, like, he gets up, he bounces up every single time.
He's fresh.
He's young, he's fresh, but at the same time, it still wears on anybody. Yeah. And Taylor said that his quote was, this bye week is going to be love, because basically he has played an entire college season and a bowl game before his bye week. So he's got obviously going to enjoy it. Carson Wentz, I'm sure, is going to enjoy it with all his little bumps and bruises. And it's a time for the Colts. New baby, so I'm sure he's not getting very much rest. But it's a time for the Colts to just kind of reset mentally as well. You've been grinding for 14 straight weeks. It's good to get your mind off of football for a little bit, kind of rest up, get rejuvenated here, fuel back up, and then really hit these last 4 weeks of the regular season hard, so that way you can continue to play into January.
I agree. All right. Other Colts news. Center Ryan Kelly was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. What day did that happen?
That happened on Saturday. So, hey, this another great thing for the bye, because now Ryan Kelly probably only misses one start when he would have had to miss two probably because of this going on to the COVID list. So,
and if anything else did pop up, you know, today or tomorrow, all of a sudden other people start testing positive, a little more time to get through that.
And Reich did say today that it was an isolated incident, so there were no close contacts. not Quentin, not Glow, Carson Wentz. None of the guys were close contacts. Good. So Colts got lucky.
Safety Kari Willis obviously was activated off IR since we last spoke. He got to play. And Colts signed quarterback James Morgan to the practice squad and release wide receiver Isaiah McCoy.
Yeah, so the Colts go back to four quarterbacks. James Morgan was a guy that was drafted in 2020 in the fourth round, same as Jacob Eason. But James Morgan was out of FIU. So if I remember correctly, he's a kid with a big arm. I really can't remember too much about him from that 2020 pre-draft process. But, I mean, he's just another live arm to have during camp, or not in camp, to have at practice. And, yeah.
Is Sam Ellinger going to score a touchdown this year?
I mean, it doesn't seem like he's going to come in at it. I mean, well, I take that back. He did come in that one time where we had the Sam Ellinger package, but it seems like the Colts are more than willing to just hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor.
Hey, that was slick. That was a slick direct snap to JT too.
That was. That. I like that. Very nice. And then the whole, that's when the
Page offensive goes, line. I'll give where's it. Carson Wentz? He's probably lined up out of wide receiver.
He was out wide. And I will give credit to the offensive line of the Colts on that one. Jonathan Taylor took that direct snap, and the entire right side of the offensive line for the Colts just pushed the Texans 5 yards back into the end zone.
All right, week 13 scores. Boy, every week I think it can't get any worse, and it just keeps getting harder. I mean, what is going on? I don't know who's good. I don't know who's bad. I don't know who's coming onto a hot streak, you know, for the rest of the season. I mean, this is just atrocious. I mean, so close to hitting my parlay here. The Bengals and the Vikings both, I'm like, oh, they're coming back. They're going to seal the deal. Neither one did. Let's talk about it, though. The Cowboys, they take care of business. I said they needed to take care of this football game if I had any hope for them at all in the playoffs. Cowboys 27, Saints 17.
Another terrible game by Taysom Hill. No surprise there. And the Cowboys, CD Lamb had a pretty nice game, which definitely helped my fantasy team. But man, if anything sticks out about the Cowboys, it's how bad Zeke is hurting. That could very well hurt the Cowboys big time once they get to the playoffs if he can't be healthy.
Yeah. Well, I've never been a big Zeke lover in the first place, but yeah, I mean, definitely, he's definitely not very good when he's not healthy. So, Buccaneers 30, Falcons 17, Tom Brady pick six. Good enough game for me.
He also threw 368 yards and four TDs.
Do not care. He threw a pick six. That's a good day for me. Chris Godwin had a day.
15 catches.
That's a lot of catches.
Brady was going to him often, but yeah, I mean, we knew this was how the game was going to go. Buccaneers were.
Did Gronk break 100 yards? Stats, Matt. Did Gronk break 100 yards? Need to know that. Please and thank you.
I know he scored a touchdown. I don't know about the yards.
He's getting close to breaking Tony Gonzalez's record for most 100-yard football games, 100-yard receiving games. He was on ESPN this week talking about how that sounded fun. That should be safe. Allen will hit 40 rushing yards. That should be fine. Cardinals beat the Bears handily, 33-22. Andy Dalton, like four interceptions, and one Bears fan couldn't find his way out of his poncho.
Not the only fan that was made famous this week by the television crew. But, I mean, the Cardinals, when you have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins back out there, they're just such a dangerous team. And I think that's obviously the hardest test that the Colts are going to face in their last four games of the year.
Yeah, I mean, them and the Patriots are obviously the two you got to look at and think it could be a tough day. But not unwinnable football games.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know if that sound just played through the system or not, but you're welcome.
I did not hear a sound.
That's so good. Chargers 41, Bengals 22. That one hurt. That one hurt bad.
That one was seemed a lot closer than the what the score indicated, because it was 24-22 at one point, and Joe Burrow was trying to will the Bengals to a win with a, I think his key had a dislocated pinky. So that on his throwing hand. So that definitely didn't help things. And really either way, whichever team lost, it was going to be good for the Colts as far as the AFC playoff picture.
Yeah, real quick, Andrew, I just want to share this with the class. Here's the other famous fan of the week. Here's the other famous fan of the week. I at least got to throw him up here. Photo credits to CBS and the NFL. Thank you.
The ultimate pain shot. I mean, right,
yeah,
there.
Just pain. That's wonderful. If you don't watch on YouTube, thank you for listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, but also maybe consider checking it out on YouTube. It's a good time. Where are we at here? The Bengals lost. So I was pissed about that when I was at the bar. There were a lot of Bengals fans at the bar yesterday. Lions, finally. Hey, good for them. Hate them. I hate them. I'm pissed about
The week I said, you know what? I'm off on the Lions. I'm sick of trying to get them their first win. And look what they do. Look what they do.
Well, did that shooting happen? RIP. Did that shooting happen before or after our episode? I think it was before.
I think it was before. I'm not sure. But hey,
well, I was trying to defend you and say what you didn't know. Because obviously they're going to win for the state of Michigan.
Good win for the Lions. Good win for Jared Goff. Jared Goff was lethal on that final drive. I was happy to see him go down the field, get the first win for Dan Campbell as well. That locker room, I mean, the Lions seem to be a dumpster fire, but those players really love playing for Dan Campbell. And I think that goes a long way towards once they get some talent and they already have a coach that they love playing for, I think that'll go a long way.
Yeah, and I think culture takes time to build. Our team is an example of that, and you got to build that culture first, and the winning can come later.
Matt brings up Goff had a delay of game with no timeouts.
That's a very, very Jared Goff thing to happen.
We don't need to worry about that. He threw a laser for the game-winning TD with no time remaining. All is forgiven.
I hear Sean McVay actually called, wired into his headset, and told him exactly what was going to happen before the play, so he was able to be successful on that one. The Dolphins beat the Giants 20-9. I don't really have much to say about that. Apparently, Tua is not too bad. There you go, Tyler. Are you happy? Anything?
Not really. I didn't catch any of this game.
Why would you?
I mean, we picked the Dolphins to win because the Giants just cannot seem to have a very good team at all. So I think they need to kind of blow everything up. Trade Saquon Barkley. Get him to a place where he can actually do well for once. The Colts. Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor.
Have a better running room, running back room than that. Oh, my God. Eagles 33, Jets 18. I think the Eagles are up to an even record or a winning record, maybe.
Is there a quarterback controversy in Philly? Gardner Minshew coming out and just absolutely slinging the pill all over the New York Jets?
I had a Browns fan said something about basically, is Baker Mayfield any better than Gardner Minshew? He goes, they're the same guy. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think Gardner Minshew has it up in the noggin to keep up with Baker Mayfield.
I think I'd rather have Baker Mayfield than Gardner Minshew, but hey, I mean, it's not by a lot, especially when
I think when Baker's healthy, there's a gap. I think when Baker's healthy, there's a large gap.
Especially when the Browns are going to have to pay Baker here within the next year or two.
Yeah, that's not good. They're in a tough spot. Washington football team beat the Raiders. Called it. Did you pick the Raiders?
I did pick the Raiders, and I'm glad. I am glad I was wrong on this one because helps the Colts in the AFC playoff picture. And I mean, good for Taylor Heineke for getting another win.
Rams 37, Jaguars 7. I told you the Rams were going in there and they were going to murder. How did Jalen Ramsey do? Do we know? Do we have stats? Stats on Jalen Ramsey? I'm looking it up.
I don't know if he had an interception or not. I know Cooper Kupp had a big day. Cooper Kupp always has a big day.
Cooper Kupp, offensive player of the year, maybe.
Nah, Jonathan Taylor.
No, he's offensive player of the year. Jonathan Taylor's MVP. Gonna win
MVP.
Damn okay. straight.
There you go.
Sony Michel had a damn game. 24 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. Did not know Henderson wasn't playing this week, so that hurt me in fantasy. But I think
I thought he was active. I thought Henderson was active.
I thought so too, and then he did not take a snap. Last minute IA, I think.
Guess he didn't have to.
Did not have to. Ramsey recovered a fumble. Ramsey had a couple tackles. Pass the flag. No interceptions that I see. Anyway, Steelers beat the Ravens. What is going on? Why?
I have no clue. I mean,
great.
John Harbaugh going for two under a minute left. Instead of kicking the field goal and playing for overtime, he goes for two. And Lamar Jackson just overthrows Mark Andrews for the two-point conversion.
Well,
just,
from what our good friend Josh says, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to give Big Ben another chance or risk giving Big Ben another chance either. Fourth quarter, Big Ben, 9 for 10, 129 yards, two touchdowns, a two-point conversion, and 158.3 passer rating. Fifth game-winning drive this season, too. Leads the league in that category. I don't want to give Big Ben the football again either. Can't risk that.
Is Big Ben still elite?
Big Ben's elite. Hall of Fame.
Definitely Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame in boxing and the NFL.
Oh, my gosh.
Seahawks 30. This one hurt. I think this one hurt more than any other ones. And Seahawks 30, 49ers 23.
49ers, I think, had so many opportunities to win that game, and they just squandered it away. Jimmy G couldn't get it to his receivers in the clutch. And I think that's going to be real huge as far as if the 49ers are going to make the playoffs or not, just because they probably should have won that game.
That game right there is a big one.
Completely gave it to the Seahawks.
Seahawks are still not going to make the playoffs, though. So,
no.
Just a waste of a loss for the 49ers. Chiefs handle business 22-9. I believe they're on a 5-game winning streak. Chiefs are back.
Man, that was the first time I've really watched a Broncos game all year. Teddy Two.
No Debo did hurt.
No Debo in the 49ers game did hurt, but he's going to be out for a couple more weeks. So, but yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is not good, man. The Broncos better hope and pray that they can get Aaron Rodgers next year, because they have so much talent on that outside with Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, Tim Patrick. All those guys are very good wide receivers, and Teddy Bridgewater just can't get him the football. It was painful to watch last night.
A little news around the league. Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey is expected to be out for the rest of the season with a torn pec. Raiders running back Kenyon Drake, nasty, nasty broken ankle against Washington, will be out for the rest of the season. He's tweeting from the hospital, apparently just pissed off about those kinds of tackles rolling up on the back of those legs.
Yeah, it wasn't a pretty play at all. And, I mean, I can understand how you'd be upset about that. It's kind of...
I don't know how you fix that one.
That one's kind of hard to fix. It's because, I mean, if you don't want players to kind of pull you back and tackle you, but...
The refs have to blow the whistle and call the play dead way too fast then.
Players are going to do anything to get another player down. So that one's big. And the Marlon Humphrey one, though, the Ravens have been decimated by injuries this year, and their secondary is very, very thin right now. So going into these playoffs, the Ravens are not going to be nearly the defense that they could be, and I think that's really going to hurt them.
Saints wide receiver Deontay Harris suspended 3 games for a DUI charge in July. They're just in a rough spot. I mean, that's probably their top or second best receiver, too.
He's up there.
What him and Callaway, I think, are about all they have because Mike Thomas injured. You know what? There's a guy I'll take. I don't give a shit if the personality there is not quite as good. This Colts culture is good enough now to handle an all-star like that, that maybe he's got a little bit of an attitude problem. Look, he doesn't get along with the head coach. They had a falling out. Sound familiar? Sounds like somebody that's playing quarterback for the Colts right now that's doing just fine. Did he fake an injury for an entire year? No, he did not. But playing quite well. And he could use a guy like Michael Thomas. I think that'd be pretty nice. There's room for two Michaels.
Michael Thomas and a Michael Pittman?
Yeah.
The Mike and Mike show?
Yeah, Mike squared. Panther, what do you think about that? How do you feel about that idea? You hate it. I know. You're no fun.
I'd have to see. I don't know. Stats, Matt, what is Michael Thomas's current contract situation, first of all? And second,
who knows, I think maybe he's out of it this year.
I think it's going to take quite a bit of draft capital for the Colts to be able to obtain Michael Thomas.
So, hey, Josh Carney's in.
He said, "Make it happen."
Make it happen.
I'd have to think about that one. I definitely would want to read into more about what's going on between Michael Thomas and Sean Payton. I mean, I'm not a big Sean Payton fan at all, so it probably wouldn't take much to convince me. But I mean, it would be a wild upgrade for this Colts offense. And Matt says he'd rather have Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup is going to be a free agent wide receiver this spring from the Dallas Cowboys.
He's not going to be inexpensive.
He's definitely not going to be inexpensive, but I don't think he would cost nearly as much as what Michael Thomas probably would when you're factoring in
Michael Thomas. How much money do you expect to make after blackballing your team for a year? There's my argument from Chris Ballard.
Well, the thing is, though, he's going to want a contract extension by any team that trades for him. And the thing is, it's going to take a big amount of draft capital to get him. Okay, so Josh says $24.7 million cap hit in two of the next 3 years for Thomas. That's not cheap.
Not inexpensive. And
when you're talking about, you've got Quentin Nelson's contract extension coming up too. Colts will have $57 million in cap space next year, but the Colts will also need, I think they have 30 guys on expiring deals. So yeah, they've got a lot to replace next year.
All right, Panthers fire offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Somebody had to go eventually.
And the thing is, Joe Brady came from LSU where he absolutely lit the world on fire. And it's just been a downfall. And not having a competent quarterback certainly hurts that when you go from Teddy Bridgewater to Sam Darnold to Cam Newton. And I'm sure he'll get a job somewhere else, whether it's the NFL or the college ranks. He's too talented of a guy not to. But yeah, I think if now that Brady's out of there, the next guy to go is, if this thing doesn't get figured out, especially the quarterback position, I think Matt Rhule will be on the hot seat.
Didn't they sign him a guaranteed, like, ridiculous contract, though? Like, the highest paid coach in the league. Like, they paid him fat money.
They paid him, but the Panthers owner is not patient. He is not patient at all, and he's going to want results very soon.
Yeah, Dolphins, Tyler, Giants. Okay, relax. We already gave your quarterback a little hoopla earlier.
Shout out to Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle had a big game, and he's been showing that him and Devontae Smith, and Jamar Chase, all three of them have been phenomenal picks for their teams.
Oh yeah. Real quick before we go to Colts player of the game, Andrew. Did you know Coach O was getting let go from LSU before this whole Brian Kelly news broke? Because I did not know until I saw that Brian Kelly was going to LSU. How does that make you feel as a hardcore Notre Dame fan?
I mean, I think Brian Kelly just kind of shows how Brian Kelly has always been. But, hey, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish got Marcus Freeman, who is a phenomenal young defensive coordinator, promoting him to head coach. He was a standout linebacker at Ohio State, and the players absolutely love him. So I think Notre Dame is in very good hands with Marcus Freeman.
Brian Kelly's daughter still having to graduate from Notre Dame, posting TikToks just like, whatever, I don't care. Everybody's going to hate me. Dad. Thanks, Dad. Big props, Purdue. First time being number one in that program's history. Congratulations to Matt Painter.
Purdue's got a hell of a basketball team.
I don't know what Matt Painter, like, what changed a few years ago. Matt Painter all of a sudden just decided, you know what, I'm going to get the biggest dudes in this country, and I'm going to make sure we get those guys, and no one's going to be as big as us, and that's going to help, and it has.
So real quick, if this tells you anything, earlier this year, before all this happened with Brian Kelly, I was talking to some of my other friends and Josh and Ryan about, if Matt Eberflus did get did get fired this offseason, I would not mind having Marcus Freeman be the Colts defensive coordinator, if that tells you anything about how I feel about him. He's an absolute stud coach.
All right, Andrew, Colts player of the game. I love this being the new Colts player of the game sound. It's a little long, but it's good.
Lightning in a bottle. Kenny Moore. Kenny Moore the second, excuse me. Four tackles, pass deflection, two pass deflections, an interception, and a forced fumble. Kenny Moore is what started the onslaught, and it's time that he gets the respect he deserves. It's time people start putting some respect on his name, and Kenny Moore should be a Pro Bowler this year. All of Colts Nation, all of Colts fans, get your votes in for Kenny Moore. He deserves it. He has been an absolute critical part of this defense, and without Kenny Moore, this secondary is probably in a very bad spot right now. So Kenny Moore, Colts player of the game, get that man to the Pro Bowl.
Jonathan Taylor, why not?
Michael Pittman, Kamoko Touré.
Colts. Woo, football.
The whole Colts defense for that shutout.
You like that? You like that?
Go follow us.
Kirk Cousins didn't like that after that Lions loss.
Tough day.
That's for damn sure.
Tough day. Colts Podcast, at a Colts Podcast. Go follow us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the things. And remember, we're doing a mailbag episode Wednesday, okay? So we need questions for that. Keep an eye out on Twitter and Facebook for posts for questions, but feel free to get ahead of the game and get your questions in now. And don't forget, this guy's the most hilarious looking dude alive. You know what? Andrew's all, we shouldn't use it for the thumbnail. Let's not be mean to the poor guy. He's literally the biggest joke on the internet right now. So what are we going to do?
We can throw him into the episode. That's fine with me. But yeah, YouTube, whether it's commenting on this video on YouTube, DMing us on Twitter, commenting on Facebook, whatever, send us as many questions as you would like, and we'll try to answer them all on Wednesday. Wednesday work for you, brother?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about Thursdays with this Hard Knocks stuff, how Thursday works out nice. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. So we're going to talk about Hard Knocks, like a whole entire week later and then watch Hard Knocks again that night. So I don't know how that's going to work, but. It'll work. It'll do. It's going to have to.
Wednesday. Mailbag.
Mailbag. Let's get it. Questions then. I guess you're probably just waiting on me to hit this button, and then we're going to do our whole wrap up, and then we're going to get out of here. We're going to say, go Colts!
Go Colts. Enjoy the bye week.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.